Good morning. I'm Dana Hornby, and you're listening to The Calling, where we explore the lives of people who've been called to various types of ministries in their churches and in their community. Today, we're here with Stephen Lee from Crossville First United Methodist Church. Crossville First United Methodist meets on Sunday mornings at 8:30 for a traditional service. Sunday school starts at 9:45. The contemporary service starts at 11 o'clock. And Wednesday night, there are all sorts of small groups happening. But what you need to know is that the meal starts at 5 o'clock, and you are all invited to come join in the ministries and classes, experiences happening at Crossville First United Methodist Church.
Introducing you to local church and community leaders, The Calling.
Thank you for being with us this morning, Stephen.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
So, you're new to this community. You have been living in Waverly, Tennessee. Is that correct?
Well, that's where I'm originally from.
It is? Okay.
But I was pastoring at the First United Methodist Church in Dixon.
Okay. So, how long have you been in the Upper Cumberland area?
This time since July.
This time? Has there been another time?
Yes. After I got out of seminary in 1996, I was actually on staff at Cookeville First for 2 years.
Oh, okay. Well, shout out to all the folks in Cookeville.
Yes, that's a great church. And then following my short stint there, I was at Gainesboro in Jackson County for 3 years. And so this is my second stint to the Upper Cumberland.
Were you excited coming back to this area?
Oh, yes. We love it here.
It's beautiful, isn't
it? It's great.
What are some of your favorite things about the Upper Cumberland area?
The cooler temperatures.
Yes.
And the scenery is just phenomenal. It's breathtaking.
It is. There are beautiful, beautiful waterfalls, beautiful hiking trails, a lot of nature to enjoy.
Yes. And the people are very kind.
The people are the best part.
Yes.
Yeah. There's a true sense of community here, isn't there?
Oh, most definitely. Yes. We felt loved immediately when we moved into the area of Crossville. They just accepted us in like we were a part of their family.
There's nothing like Southern hospitality, especially that Tennessee hospitality.
Yes, correct.
And you see the best of it in the Upper Cumberland.
Yes.
So where did you grow up then, Stephen?
Well, my wife and I both grew up in Waverly.
Okay.
And I went to college for my first 2 years at Martin Methodist in Pulaski.
Okay.
And at that time, it was only a two-year institution. And then I transferred to Austin Peay after that and got my Bachelor of Science and Arts in Sociology and History.
Oh, wow.
And then after that, I went and finished my MDiv at Asbury Theological Seminary in Wilmore, Kentucky.
Okay, and tell folks what an MDiv is.
Master of Divinity. And that is the degree of choice if you want to become an elder in the United Methodist Church.
So you have mastered divinity.
No, that's an ongoing process. One that I will never complete.
It's a lifelong journey, isn't it?
Indeed.
It's a great journey to be on.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So as you have studied faithfully in order to earn these degrees, what has been your experience of God through study?
Even though I think I've learned a lot of things that I wouldn't normally have acquired, it actually has brought me to a place that I know how much I do not know.
Isn't that important to realize what we don't know?
Yes.
Because there's so much that we don't know that we presume to know.
Indeed. Yes, and it made me feel more ignorant the more degrees I had. And I know that sounds strange, but as I began to learn, it just brought about more questions.
It's interesting that you should say that because I was just reading this morning, and one of the sentiments offered was, the older we get and the wiser we get, the quieter we become because we're listening to those around us and absorbing their thoughts.
Yes, I always think about that passage, be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to anger.
Yeah.
And I've tried to put that into practice in my life.
Yeah, that's a good one for all of us to focus on, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, because, you know, I've got an opinion.
We all do. Yes.
So tell us about Stephen Lee growing up as a little boy. What were you like as a school child?
I'm still an introvert, but I was an extreme introvert growing up.
All right.
Kept to myself. Okay. I was pretty much a loner.
Was there a special friend that you connected with?
Not in my early days, no.
Okay.
I actually spent most of my time playing sports.
Oh,
that
wow.
was my big thing.
Okay. What's your
baseball,
sport?
Baseball and basketball.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And but baseball was my main sport, and we lived in the rural part of Waverly. Wasn't on a farm, but it was in a farm area. And I would just go out and shoot baskets on my own, basketball.
Yeah.
And my mom and dad bought me a pitch bag, as they called them in those days. And I would practice my pitching and my fielding with that pitch bag, because
yes.
I would throw and it's a netting, and it'll
right.
the ball will bounce back to you either in the air or on the ground. And so I'd practice my fielding and my placement of my pitching.
Cool. You know, I just happen to be a Cubbies fan.
Yeah. Oh, well, we will probably be at odds on that, because I'm a Cardinals fan.
You know, that's okay. It doesn't matter who wins if it's a good game.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And yeah. I was so dejected when the Nationals just tore my Cardinals out of pieces.
There's always next year, buddy.
Yes.
Always next
always.
Year. I'm Dana Hornby. You're listening to The Calling, and we'll be back in a moment. I'm Dana Hornby, and you're listening to The Calling. We're here this morning with Stephen Lee from Crossville First United Methodist Church. And, Stephen, you've been telling us about where you grew up and a little bit about you and your childhood. Tell us now how you began to figure out that God was calling you into this life of ministry.
That is a process as well. I actually come from a long line of ministers. Starting back with my paternal grandparents, who were both traveling evangelists for the Church of God of Prophecy.
Wow.
And my father, by his own admission, was a rebellious PK, preacher's kid, for all of you who do not know what that terminology.
Wow.
And He used to tell us growing up that even though he was born in a clergy family, that he wasn't anything at all. He was not a Christian.
Okay.
And when he married my mom, they still were not really churchgoers in the beginning. And but my mom was the Methodist. That's
okay.
how we got the Methodists in our family.
Okay.
And through prayer and through God's revelation in his life, he kind of had a converting experience and a call to ministry at the same time.
Wow. Okay. So your dad accepted Christ and became a minister.
Yes.
Wow.
And that's several sick. Of his friends were freaking out because they'd never imagined him to be
I bet so.
A pastor. And he was, I'm a big guy, but he scaled over me like 3 or 4 more inches.
So how old were you when this happened to him?
Just baby.
Oh, just little.
Even,
okay.
Right about the time I was born was when this happened.
Okay.
And I am the 4th out of 5 boys in our family. And the middle 3 became Methodist ministers.
Wow.
And but my dad was always bivocational. He was a crane operator.
Okay.
And then he served multiple church charges in the United Methodist Church over the years. And but we never moved growing up.
Okay. Okay. So you saw this happen to your dad. Was it familiar when it began happening to you?
It was quite a different situation altogether. Because my dad, of course, never was formally educated.
Okay.
as a United Methodist minister, right. went to the course of study and right. things of that sort, but right. he never finished high school even.
Okay.
Neither did my mother.
Okay.
And so education wasn't a big part, formal education, I
right.
should say,
yeah,
was
yeah.
not a big part of our family lineage.
Yeah. And some people who don't have formal education are still some of the smartest people you ever meet.
Yes, yeah. they are. Yeah, we had a great upbringing as a family. We were raised in a Christian home, and we were poor, but we had everything that we needed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And but since my father was pastoring multiple church charges, and I had older brothers, there's kind of a two sets of
okay.
in our family.
Sibling.
Like there's three of them, and then there's a break of 8 years between the third one and me, and then there's three
okay.
between the last two.
Okay.
So my mother chose, since my dad was going from church to church, she wanted all of us to be in Sunday school. And so even though she never drove after the children were born, she used to drive a truck with my father, and they drove a gas truck together.
Okay, wow.
And so she could drive a big machine, but she chose not to drive, get her driver's license.
Okay.
And so all this time she had to row with my dad or one of us children.
Right.
And so my older brothers were the ones chauffeuring us to church. There was a small family United Methodist church 8/10 of a mile from our home. And so my brothers would drive all of us to there so we could go to Sunday school
okay.
with our cousins and uncles and aunts. Our uncles and aunts were our teachers, really,
yeah.
in Sunday school. And then we actually didn't even have preaching every Sunday because there were multiple churches on that
right.
Circuit, and they only came every other week.
The pastor did, mm-hmm. yeah, to preach. So how old were you when you knew that God was calling you into this life of ministry? Some might say the family business.
Yes. Actually, the earliest I remember, I was about 11 or 12.
Oh, wow, that's young.
And the thing that was weird about me, it probably still is, that I always had a fascination, even as a child, about reading the Bible and going to church.
Oh, wow.
In fact, I've kept up with this, and I'm 54 years old, and I've missed Sunday morning church 6 times my whole life.
You're kidding.
That including wow. sickness and deaths.
Wow, that's amazing.
And my family and I, we always take... We typically try to go on vacation. We'll leave after church
uh-huh.
on Sunday morning, I'll preach, and then we'll go somewhere.
Wow.
And we'll try to be back by the next Sunday. But even if we go somewhere that requires us being gone over a week, we will take our clothes to go to church.
Wow.
Wherever we are.
That's being faithful, buddy.
So.
Yeah.
And it didn't initially start out as a... with the right motivation. I say it was more seen as a legalistic thing.
Yeah.
That you have to do this. But as I grew older, it became something that I wanted to do.
Isn't that amazing how God changes our hearts to something that we're supposed to do to something that we just have this thirst mm-hmm. for?
Yes.
We have to be there. We need it. It's like the breath that we breathe.
And I was getting to the point, that's kind of how I discovered my call. Our parents were not ones to push us into that.
Right.
Because they knew all of the negativity of being in the spotlight or in the fishbowl is what they call
right.
it.
It's not always an easy life.
No, it's not at all. I feel sorry for my children, actually. They didn't choose to be in that. But they do a pretty good job about that role. But back when I was 11 or 12, I had a Sunday school teacher named Miss Christine Allison in Waverly. And she was in charge of kind of the education of all of the church. But she was my specific Sunday school age teacher. And she started this competition, if you will, of who can read the most chapters in the Bible each week.
Oh, wow.
And so every week, you told them how many you...
And you were like, game on, right?
Yes, but I'm convicted to say this. Initially, that did not happen as a result of my zest for God.
Right.
It came as a result of my competitiveness being an athlete.
Right.
I wanted to win every time.
There you go.
And when there were times when people would catch up to me, get close to me, I would even read more.
Right.
But over the years, that ill intention became a love of wanting to read the scripture.
That's wonderful.
So God used that. And that same Sunday school teacher, she was the first one that said to me verbally, God is calling you to be a pastor.
Ah, prophetic. Yes. I'm Dana Hornby. You're listening to The Calling, and we'll be back in a moment. I'm Dana Hornby, and you're listening to The Calling. We're here this morning with Pastor Stephen Lee from Crossville First United Methodist Church, and Stephen would like to share a motivational moment.
Today I wanted to share with you from the book of Psalms, more specifically Psalm 131. It's probably not one of the most commonly known ones, but it is very rich in its content and meaning for our lives, so I invite you to hear these words with new understanding. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. My soul is like the weaned child that is within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time on and forevermore. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of these words. As I was thinking about this particular psalm, I was thinking about all the things in our lives that become too overwhelming for us, particularly during the culture in which we live. There's always disagreements over politics, religion, even sports teams. And often that can lead us to feeling overwhelmed and just burdened by life's cares. But when I hear the words of the psalmist, when he proclaims to God that his heart is not lifted up, his eyes are not raised too high, and he does not occupy himself with things that are too great or marvelous for him. This is a situation where the psalmist places his full trust in God. He doesn't want to be overcome with the feelings that are before him, and so he relinquishes control to God. But the thing that really speaks to me is this image that you get in verse 2 of Psalm 131. The psalmist again proclaims, "But I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother." It took me several years to get the image of this, but in my mind I picture that a child, when it is on its mother's breast, is coming there specifically to be fed. The child comes for what he or she can gain from the mother. The psalmist gives us a beautiful picture that when his soul is calmed and quieted, it is like a weaned child at its mother's breast. He or she comes not for what he or she can gain from that, but they come just for the intimacy of the moment of spending time with the mother. And I think that's the way our prayer life should be, that we come to God not for what we want God to do for us or in us, but we come for just the intimacy in our relationship with God.
Amen. I'm Dana Hornby, and you're listening to The Calling. I'm Dena Hornby, and you're listening to The Calling. And Stephen, this is my favorite part of the show because I get to ask you five questions.
Uh-oh.
And you never know which five questions I'm going to ask. It could be anything.
Uh-oh.
You do get one sort of prize, though. You get to plead the fifth on one of them. If you could be the funniest person in the room or the smartest person in the room, which would you choose to be?
The smartest.
The smartest, yeah.
Yes.
Would you be smart in one particular subject? Like, would you be a nuclear physicist or a brain surgeon? Or the best theologian in the world?
The best theologian.
You would.
Yes.
Okay. Excellent. Okay, that's a required answer.
Yes.
That's the preacher answer.
We have to make sure the bishop and the BS hears that.
Duly noted. Okay. Let's say you had the opportunity to travel in time. And you could go to any place, anywhere, any time period you wanted to go to. Would you go back in history and meet your ancestors? Or would you go into the future and see your descendants?
Probably go back.
Really? Is there anybody you would want to see? Grandma or grandpa?
No, not anyone in particular. Just I like to know what decisions and which people influenced the person that I am today.
What is your best scar story? I'm sure you have a scar somewhere, right?
Oh, yes.
What's your best scar story?
Plenty of them.
All right. Choose one.
This journey that is ongoing in our family.
Okay.
Our oldest son, Nathaniel, who is 23 now, he was diagnosed with a brain tumor when 2 months before he turned 16.
Wow.
And he still, even though his scans have been stable for the last 4 years, there's always that scare that it's going to return.
Sure.
And because of that brain tumor and the chemo and the radiation that he went through, it has left him disabled.
Right.
And he is both physically and cognitively disabled from those things, and has limited vision, limited use of his right arm. He drags his right leg behind him, has severe short-term memory loss and confusion and things of that sort, and makes it very difficult for him to live.
I'm sure that is tough. Yeah.
And he came from being a national scholar to struggling with, you know, just everyday living.
Daily living, yeah. Okay, Stephen, let's see. Question number 4. What is the best advice that you have ever been given?
Ooh, that is a tough one.
Nobody ever gave you good advice?
Oh, plenty of times. I do remember something that my father taught us when we went into ministry, because he had an experience in his early days. There was a lady in his congregation who was very poor, and he said that when he would go visit her, that there were holes in the floor of her house, and chickens were underneath the house, and you could see them all the time, and she lived in abject poverty. And one Christmas, she bought my dad and mom a country ham for Christmas. And my dad said he made the mistake of not accepting it because he said she needed it worse than we did.
Oh.
And he hurt her feelings over that. And he always told us that we should never refuse a gift from a church member or anybody, because that was a way that was communicated to them that we thought we were better than they were.
Oh, wow.
So I've always tried to live by that philosophy.
Yes.
That I'm always humbled at that. regardless of how much anybody has, but
right.
particularly those who I know are probably not as fortunate. Those are greater gifts of grace.
They're sacrificial gifts.
Yes, they are.
Yes, absolutely. That's a great lesson. Okay, last question. If you could have an unlimited supply of any one thing for the rest of your life, what would that be?
I think I already have that.
Really?
Love.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty cool.
I don't have to wish for that. I already have it.
Oh, that's great.
From God and humans.
Oh, that's great. Well, from my impression of you, Stephen, you're easy to love. So,
thank you.
Yeah, yeah. And you exude the grace and peace of God. And so,
thank you.
Yeah, I'm glad that's coming back to you. Thank you, Stephen, for joining me today and for discussing your ministry at Crossville First United Methodist Church.
It's 100 Braun Street.
100 Braun Street, Sunday mornings at 8:30, 9:45, and 11, and Wednesday nights and meals starting at 5 o'clock. Each week, we'll introduce you to members of the community who followed their call to serve. I'm Dana Hornby, and this has been The Calling.